Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Iron Jaw Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Davis, and I have just received breaking news about this Sunday's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. A major injury suffered this week, so this person won't be competing. You know, he has some neck issues, who also, you know, has had weakness in his shoulders, so you will not see me competing at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view this Sunday. I'm sorry for anyone who was looking forward to seeing me, maybe next year, or yeah, maybe next year for me. That's a little bit of humor. Also, this podcast, we're going to be dissecting the Extreme Rules pay-per-view and, you know, giving you my predictions. Before we start, I would like to send out a shout to Spencer, who, you know, is one of my, you know, good, you know, Canadian friends, and sharing the link. So did Isaiah to this podcast. And Wrestling Heads Radio, you can follow them on Twitter at Wrestling Heads. They shared my last wrestling podcast, and, you know, I was too late to the party to, you know, give them a shout-out, which I promised. So there you are, Wrestling Heads Radio, another podcast you should check out. And also, Tough Enough for WWE is coming back. So if any of you want to be an aspiring professional wrestler, send in your videos, WWEToughEnough.com, like they need me to advertise. You know, I know many of you probably listening have always dreamed of being a superstar. Just send in a video. They're showing them on, they showed them on SmackDown, which I watched this morning, and, you know, they're pretty good. I actually became instant fans of some of the fans who sent in those videos. But I want to apologize again for not getting to these questions, you know, last wrestling podcast, you know, Saturday, so just 6-7 days ago, I had a question Q&A thing for wrestling fans, and, you know, I just ran out of time for these questions, and even had one submitted in earlier by Joey. So we'll have a few minutes for questions. And E-Fed and Booker related, so those are the questions I'm answering. I answered this at the very end of last podcast, but just to open up with it, what kind of E-Feds were you a part of, you know? And for those of you who don't know, E-Feds are where you role-play with, you know, other characters. You role-play with characters with other people around the world with other characters. And it's really fun, you know, what creativity you can come up with. But I've done create superstars, you know, I've done with real superstars like Shelton Benjamin, Tommy Dreamer, Vladimir Kozlov. Dreamer and Kozlov I actually started without back years and years ago. You know, and chain role plays where you go back and forth, and promos where you write this long promo and whoever's better gets to win that week. But who are some of my favorite creative superstars of all time? Not including ones I've made up. So I've got a list right here. And I'm sorry if I leave you out. It's just, you know, what could come up my head at the time. Some of the shouts I'm giving is to Mitch. He had the hardcore demon. You know, he was so cool. You know, he hated me. Death was actually, you know, inspired by him, of course. You know, Death is one of my superstars. To give you a picture, you know, we have pick bases and stuff. So Hardcore Demon was like the pick base of a biker version of The Undertaker, remember back then? And mine was more of a modern day, at the time, Undertaker. So, you know, this was back in 2009, 2010. Well, actually 2009, yeah. So, you know, that was with the long hair and, you know, the look of that stuff. It was really cool. But he always had some good moments with matches and stuff. I appreciated him. Sure, he was Oriadon. I don't know how to pronounce that exactly. I hope he listens to this podcast. I haven't talked to him in a while. I always thought Dustin Shore was unique, and I thought I wish I had more time to, you know, do stuff with him. And I know some of you wrestling fans just listening for this, for Extreme Rules, doesn't know this, but I got a lot of ties with some of the people tuning in just for this segment. Oblivion, from my good friend Ben overseas in Wales. You know, Oblivion, you know, really set everything up for promos. I wish I could do it as well as him. And, you know, I'll never know his secret. Yeah, Oblivion was really good and creative. And I enjoyed working with him as a partner or a rival. Tim Tap Out by Tim Taylor. He actually is a good wrestler up in Maryland. And he's going to college up in New York, maybe, somewhere in New York. But, you know, you may actually see Tim Tap Out Taylor on WWE one day. I'm fully confident in that. Good friend Dean. You know, here's an interesting story. Dean's main character is Devin Smith. You know, it's like John Morrison, Dolph Ziggler, Mike Bennett, pick bass, and, you know, it's sort of a Hollywood big movie star theme, sort of like The Rock. But Devin Smith was good, but I think he did Matthew Maddox much, much better. You know, he had that, you know, CM Punk pick bass, and it was sort of like, you know, rebellious. But he did better than CM Punk in real life, and I really appreciate it. John, he played Omega, which was a Batista pit base. He did a really good job and was really one of the stationary people. But no offense, John, I don't put you up there with the others. You know, I didn't do this exactly in order, but yeah. I need to give some honorable mentions to Joey. His main guy was Brett Carpenter, but I really like Anton Moran. He's really creepy and dark and stalking. He was a stalker. And that was really fun playing with him. And also, it's not a CAW in particular, but Bryant, my good friend Bryant, he had several CAW. Create superstars, and he also did this with Really Fed. I would begin role playing with him. I mean, he was my role playing buddy. I would begin, you know, role playing with him, and he'd finish up with one guy, and then he'd bring a couple more in, and we went on for hours. And I swear, I went through his entire stock of like a dozen, you know, talents he had. So that was really fun. No, I could go on and on for days. I just had to pick a few for, you know. What bookers, you know, what favorite bookers have I read? Oh, no, I actually do not want to get into that right now. Any creative superstars of mine or somebody else's that I wish had achieved more? And that was one thing today by Joey. You know, I think Devin Smith by Dean and Oblivion by Ben, you know, would be two of those guys. You know, they always worked hard. I didn't have them enough time to get the NGW title, you know, to them, the world title, because I actually ran NGW, New Generation Wrestling. You may have heard of it. And just, you know, in general, you know, people who didn't role play as much, you know, who had epic creative superstars that just didn't role play that often. I really wish I could have given more to them, honestly. I won't go in detail about that. What was the easiest and the hardest part about role playing? Well, I would say the easiest is, you know, Bryant, you know, having a guy who, you know, on the other end of the spectrum that, you know, will sort of carry you when you're not that creative, you give 1 to 2 line responses, and you're just not that active, you know, and with motions. And, you know, but the hardest part about role-playing would probably be, you know, when people 2 hours to reply. You know, I tried to be as best as I could to reply as quick as I could. But, you know, there would be role plays that went on for 2-3 days, and I'm like, let's just kill it and start all over. And, you know, actually running AFED, I want to put this in here. It's always hard when people weren't active, but you had storylines planned for them, and you were so attached to the storyline that you didn't push the ones who were active, and it got everybody mad. And, yeah, I've left the forum since then. The easiest, hardest part about booking, the easiest is probably, you know, getting your stories, you know, because I'll have, you know, stories pop in my head, boom, 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 like what can happen at SummerSlam or WrestleMania or Survivor Series. And I've had several of that with my WWE 15 booker I'm doing currently that I started after WrestleMania. And, you know, the hardest would be the match writing, the display. You know, that's why I do bookers privately now. I don't show them to anyone and don't intend to anymore, because everyone was caught up, hey, you should do color, you should do images, you should make it look more bright and colorful. And I'm like, I don't care. And people are like, you should write longer matches, you know, pay-per-views deserve, you know, from bell to bell matches instead of just closing moments. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I just don't care. You know, it's hard to write a whole pay-per-view and then try to write, you know, an equally long Raw the next day. Bookers, real quick, favorite booker I ever read. It was hard to choose, so I just had to go with it. Pro Wrestling R by Dan, PWR, one of the great, great bookers. Any overall booker by Yannick, you know, that speaks for itself, for anyone who knows the German stud. Any WWE booker by John, he actually took one I couldn't finish, and, you know, he took it, you know, months and months and months. I was like, wow, he really changed it. Red's WWE, and there's a lot of people on here who take different, you know, heirs of wrestling and work with it. WWE, A New Attitude, Dean, I would always give him, you know, such strong criticism, and he'd always take it, and, you know, I am so proud he didn't get mad at me after that. WWF, 1993 and Beyond by Joey, that was a really good booker. He didn't go in much detail, but I was very intrigued. And, you know, it was such a good idea. He didn't care what other people said. And also another notable one by him was WWE 2007 Futures Now. Joey's known for those. And he does it so well. He doesn't care what others think. He just runs with his ideas, and I really respect him for that. I know, Joey, you're listening. Maybe not live, but sometime other. And one I just discovered recently, 2013, the NXT Generation by Killick. He's on Wrestling Click, I think. I'm hardly on there anymore. But it was just so unique how he writes his stuff, whether it's a show or whether it's, you know, just a skip backstage. Really cool, you know, in-depth booker there. And also created, you know, I held NGW with all these creative superstars. Ben came to me and asked if he could do a booker with the roster, and he did 10 times better than the actual EFED, so I'm very proud of him for that. And we have 15 minutes, so, you know, we have enough time for Extreme Rules. Would like to dig in this real quick. Before I do, this year seems a little more serious than last year's. And, you know, and some of you may not agree because of the, you know, KMA match. I won't say the word, but the KMA match. But last year we had a WLC, you know, with two midgets in a TLC type of match. We had a steel cage match. We had an extreme rules match between Dan Bryan and Kane afterwards. But there wasn't really enough extreme in it. It was just like a normal pay-per-view. It might as well have been, you know, Survivor Series or something. It really wasn't that great of a pay-per-view in terms of expectations. I expect this year's to be bloody, and I'm going to go right diving into it. First of all, I have to start off with the kickoff show. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro defend the tag titles against the New Day, Big E, and Kofi Kingston. Incredible. You know, I knew, you know, there were reports Lucha Dragons would, I almost always say Lucha Underground, excuse me, but Lucha Dragons would, you know, get into the tag title hunt, you know, soon. And I'm glad the New Day won and how they won. They are getting so much heat, and I actually love it. I don't love the New Day, and I know others don't, but they're actually gaining heat. They won't win the tag title, but it's they're doing pretty well. They're just filler, and, you know, I'm excited to see Kofi Kingston with Ken Cesaro and what Big E can manage to do. My prediction is, I think I said it already, Cesaro and Kid retain. You know, pretty easy on that one. There's a near continental championship match against Daniel Bryan, who won the title in a 7-man ladder match at WrestleMania against the former champion, Bad News Barrett. Barrett's been more focused on, you know, the Sheamus, Ziggler, Neville fiasco, it seems like, and Daniel Bryan's been forgotten about. And I think it's just because you're giving Daniel Bryan that rest, sort of. And Daniel Bryan's just going to come to Extreme Rules in Rosemont, Illinois. Some people will say Chicago, and will just steal the show. Can I say that? Can I say that with Daniel Bryan? But Bryan's going to go all out if he can, and, you know, win probably by the running knee. You know, I'm pulling for Barrett, but, you know, Bryan retains easily. Roman Reigns versus The Big Show. Well, it's The Big Slow. Show. I meant show. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me, show. They're in a last man standing match, and it's really unique because, you know, the whole thing trying to get Roman Reigns pushed is he always gets up. You know, Cena's never gives up. Well, Roman Reigns always gets up. And they're doing it pretty decently, if I do say so myself. But do you really have to ask me for my prediction here? It's Roman Reigns. You know, Big Show's just trying to push Reigns now. You know, let him go over. Oh, by the way, for people who don't know, wrestling script. I'm going to catch a lot of flack for that, but I just want to get that out there. I still do enjoy it. I really do. It's been in my roots since I was born. I was born while a wrestling show was on. Dad had to VCR it and watch it later. That's pretty cool. But Roman Reigns wins, you know, probably several Superman punches, and, you know, Big Show always loses last minute stand matches, so it's no surprise there. The Lunatic Fringe, Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper, that should say it, in a Chicago street fight. And can I just say, you know, I'm kind of disappointed how, you know, they've done this, Ambrose and Harper. I'm sure the Chicago street fight is going to be awesome, one of the most extreme things we'll see all night. I don't see them bleeding, but they'll get a lot of weapons. They're so far out there in the mind. They'll bring a lot of, and introduce a lot of crazy weapons you didn't think would be used into the match. But can I say, it looked like they were building up for a table, ladders, and chairs match. And let me explain. Okay, so Luke Harper, WrestleMania, they were in that seven-man Intercontinental title match. Luke Harper sent Ambrose into a ladder and actually split the ladder in two. It was one of those scary things. It was like, Dean, are you okay? You know, it's kind of like that Mankind falling off the top of the cage or top of the cell. You've never seen it before, and you're like, oh, my goodness. We've seen ladders bent, but we've never seen a ladder break in two, split, clean. Oh, it was nasty. And then, you know, they used the announce table, and, you know, Ambrose got drove through the announce table. And then, you know, Harper threw a chair into the ring, and those other two were, you know, the latter two were, you know, later on after WrestleMania. But it looked like they were going for TLC, and then they say a Chicago Street Fight. I'm sorry, the Chicago Street Fight could have been Ziggler and Sheamus. And TLC, please. And, you know, what I'd like to note out right now is the only two matches. Well, there's three matches that don't include weapons, but the other one has a stipulation with the KMA. Brian and Barrett, which is probably because of Brian's shoulder, and Nikki Bella and Naomi for the Divas Championship, which I'm going to dive into right now with, you know, Nikki Bella is the longest reigning champion in WWE right now as Divas Champion. Trade her sister just to get that belt. And, you know, Naomi's never held it, and she's been really close so far. And, you know, Paige actually won the number one contender's Battle Royal. And then Naomi turned injured, finger quotes, Paige. And now Naomi's at Extreme Rules facing Nikki Bella for the title. And here's where I see the title changing hands. I believe Naomi wins rear view. You know, that's where she jumps up in the air, and you have to see it. But I think it's the perfect time for Naomi to be champion, hold the title for 3 months at least, and, you know, get someone else shot. No, and that would put it around Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, that kind of range. I think it'd be very good. Nikki Bella would then lose her title, and the longest reigning champion then would be Kidd and Cesaro, because Bryan, Rollins, and Cena all won their titles at WrestleMania. Fact. I had to do that. I'm sorry. Next up, we're going to talk about Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus in the KMA match. I'm obviously not saying that because it's borderline and I don't feel comfortable with it. They're going to fight to one fall, and then after match, you're probably going to want to go take a bathroom break, you know. And if your kitchen doesn't, you know, face the TV, you may want to get a snack, because the other person is going to kiss the other's buttocks. Really, it's a toss-up between the two. Dolph Ziggler, you know, should win. You know, he's a face. And then Sheamus, you know, he just returned. It's going to be one of those good matches without weapons. But I'm going to say that Sheamus wins, you know, with a bro kick. And, you know, Dolph Ziggler emotionally gets to, you know, KMA or KHA or KSA. You may be able to figure those out. I'm having trouble putting it together myself. John Cena and Rusev, the Russian chain match for the United States Championship. For those of you who don't know, spent a year undefeated, and then lost WrestleMania to Cena, losing also the United States title. I wasn't a fan of. And then, you know, I watched the Cena podcast, and he grew on me. I feel so humiliated to say that. And, you know, CN's been doing these open challenges, which I think are really cool. Russian chain match, obviously, falls into Rusev, you know, his comfort zone. Or they would want you to think. It's just a Texas bull rope match, just with a chain linking them two together. Touch all four corners consecutively to win. And, you know, that's actually going to be a really good match. But pretty obviously wins. You don't need a rocket science to tell you that. That would mean Rusev losing yet another pay-per-view match then. You know, Rusev beats Cena at, you know, Fastlane, then lose at WrestleMania. And then, you know, now going to lose at Extreme Rules, I assume. And then you just have to let Rusev go on his own. Get him a good, you know, rivalry that doesn't involve his nationality. I swear, if I see Rusev versus Jack Swagger one more time, I'm going to be very disappointed. Anyways, we finally got into the main event of the evening. And I feel pretty much the entire podcast now. Your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins. Not the future of the WWE, but the man of the WWE right now. Versus the Apex Predator, once known as the Legend Killer, will now have to be known as the future Stomper. That was bad. Randy Orton, in a steel cage. The RKO, one of the most exciting moves in the WWE, is banned from being used. I guess if he uses it, you know, Rollins wins by DQ, which is weird to have in a steel cage. And Kane is going to be the gatekeeper. You know, Kane's had fallen out with the Rollins as they're part of the Authority. And it's really weird to me. But, hey, you know, I don't see Rollins losing. Hey, I think it's going to happen. This way. I think it's going to happen this way. Mark it down. Mark it down, please. Okay, so it gets to the end of the match. You know, probably 17, 18-minute mark. Okay, well, you know, someone's crawling to the door. Probably Orton. And Kane opens the door. Rollins pulls him back in, and Rollins attacks Orton, and Orton fights back. Kane actually gets in the ring, chokeslams Orton, teasing he would, you know, attack Seth Rollins. And then, you know, Seth Rollins walks out the door, wins, retains the title, and that sets up Kane versus Randy Orton at Payback, which Randy would go over in. That is a perfect way to write things. And if it's pretty close, I'm cool with it. Thank you for listening to this Iron Jaw podcast. I was your host, Michael Davis. I really appreciate you listening. I'm sorry for not being able to, you know, wrestle this Sunday. My favorite extreme match, oh, it would have to be the Barbed Wire Massacre. Have you ever seen one of those? You know, it's really cool. Or, you know, Lucha Underground, Grave Consequences. Their casket, it's like a casket burial eye match, but I always like the sale, and I wish they will return to the Elimination Chamber. Also, you know, my outro, you know, has been Kalimba by Mr. Scruff. I don't own that song. But now I looked on, you know, Free Music Archive and got me a new outro, so enjoy!